Good evening, you guys. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Dick. It's time to begin the tech net, as we've done for the last 34 years. September of 1982 was the first tech net. A lot of water under the bridge since then. The tech net is a gathering of curious radio amateurs who want to know more about their radio equipment. They're interested in all the... Most of them are interested in the many facets of ham radio. There's 26 different kinds of ham radio. 2-meter FM repeater ham radio, which you're listening to right now, is just one of the 26. So this is an extremely educational hobby. If you're disappointed with what you see with this particular branch of it, try one of the other 25 kinds of ham radio before giving it up. It's got a lot to offer. This particular group meets with the intention of sharing information. We teach each other how antennas and transmission lines and transmitters and receivers and propagation and satellites and moon bounce and meteor scatter and aurora propagation and sporadic E, and let's see, I can name a couple more of them, super refraction propagation. We discuss all of that jazz, everything to do with radio. Radio is a kind of a magic piece of science where you get a lot of action at a distance. Ain't it magic that a couple of watts into a simple piece of wire as an antenna allows you to communicate with somebody similarly equipped thousands of miles away and essentially free of charge? Let me drop. There's an awful lot to it, as you can tell. The very loose schedule that we follow with the TechNet is that for the first hour we take people who check in because they do have a question or a comment. We don't waste time with great big long lists of people signing in saying they're listening. After 34 years, we believe somebody is listening. The TechNet itself starts at 8 o'clock and runs till midnight, most nights, as long as there's enough enthusiasm to go that long, 4 hours. And some people can't stay up that late. And so that's not a serious problem because all of the TechNet is recorded. You can... go to the website of amateurradio.tangovictor, www.amateurradio.tangovictor. The last 10 and a fraction years of the TechNet are completely recorded. Choose the right year, the right month, the right week, and start playing it back, and record it into your portable device, and you can listen to it while you're commuting, on your noon hour, whatever, if you can't stay up that late. Let me drop. That beautiful website is run by a very enthusiastic guy named Mike Perry, KC2NJI. Another very enthusiastic guy named Mike Number 2, K1MJM, has another TechNet complimentary website, which is at the web address of limarctechnet.com, L-I-M-A-R-C, TechNet, T-E-C-H-N-E-T, all run together, .com. And there you'll find pictures and graphs and articles and other material that supports the TechNet. Let me drop. Our very loose schedule is that we take questions and answers from people who sign in during the first approximately an hour. There's nothing magic about that hour. Depending on enthusiasm and the number of questions, it can be considerably less than an hour. I think it's run as much as 2.5 hours on one particular occasion. That's followed by John, KC2WGB, who maintains the mailbag. So for people who don't have the right equipment or the right license yet to talk to us directly, by one means or another, they talk to John and express their question. John chooses a number of those questions, and we take them in order and cover them. Let me drop. John also maintains the Echo Link, the chat room, IRLP. So if we're a little bit too quick on the switch, and we don't wait for all four beeps, as some people don't, because they're so enthusiastic, John will know about it because he's monitoring the Echo Link, and he'll know that you didn't get a chance to sign in. He brings it to our attention, and you get your edge in words wise, if you know what I mean. After John's TechNet, after John's Echo, here we go, mailbag, we then go over to Paul, WS2N, our space expert, and a launch to the International Space Station took place today. John and Paul will be telling us about that. So that's our loose schedule. We're going to start at this time. You're going to give me your check-in because you do have a question or a comment. Let me drop.
motorboating again.
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing it. I'm going to have to repair the fan on that particular unit. Let me tap on it. Aha! I used my radio mallet. My right-hand fist. And for the time being, it stopped motorboating. Okay. We're going to take check-ins at this time. You're going to give me your call letters, your name.
Repeater, time out.
Try to remember to give me your name, because I'm so darn forgetful. Call letters, name, and the word yes. And the yes means you do have a question or a comment. A good sign-in would sound like this, KE2EJ, Eric, and yes. So, for the people who do have a question or a comment, please give me your call letters and name right now. K2LAW listening.
N2HUH, November 2, Hotel Uniform Hotel. Andy, yes.
WHYY Joe, yes.
KC2LVG, Chris, yes.
KC2WGB, yes.
Okay, we heard Andy, Joe, blank, and John. Blank, blank, 2LVG. You were dropping out of the machine. You might have been overmodulating. I think that was Chris. I think that's the name you gave me. Is it KA2 Lima Vector Tango? Chris, please correct me. K2RIW.
KD2LVG.
Okay, drop out 2LVG. It sounds like Lima Victor Golf. I'm guessing your name is Chris. I still don't have your prefix because that all got dropped out. Modulate a little bit less, Chris, and try again. K2RIW.
Kilo Delta 2, Lima Victor Golf.
Fantastic. We got you that time, Chris. No dropout. Kilo Delta 2, Lima Victor Golf. Okay. So, we got Andy, Joe, Chris, and John. One last call. Anyone else to check in? Because you do have a question or a comment, give me your call letters and name right now.
This is KC2SHO, John, yes.
Okay, we got you, John. We got more than enough to get started now. And, Joe, hope we don't have to keep you waiting a whole long time, John. So, Andy, N2HUH, you're number one on the runway, and there's a lot of planes backed up on this runway tonight, Andy. You got it, Andy. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
I have no luck. Usually I'm working on Sundays and I can't ever check into the TechNet, but today I'm home. It happens once or twice a year. Anyway, I have a HF question. When I have my, let me see if I can give you some history here. I have a Kenwood TS-2000 going to an amplifier, MFJ 3 kilowatt antenna tuner, Roland inductor, model 989B, to my butternut all band vertical, and in more than one band this phenomenon will happen where the radio will show the 400 watts output, 1-to-1 SWR, but the MFJ, which is probably why we call it mostly fun junk, which I've gone over, and it's pretty solid, though. I've already run over a kilowatt through the antenna tuner. But it shows a higher SWR than the radio. Same 100 watts output, usually, but could be a 3-to-1 SWR. Let me let it drop. So, of course, I have no problem talking throughout the United States or the European countries, and all. I pretty much know what I'm doing, but I lose confidence to, you know, the parameters here. Like, I want to satisfy the radio because the radio is the most important in the chain, so I like to see the 1-to-1 SWR. Sometimes even I can tweak out another 10 or so watts where it appears to be out of the MFJ manual tuner. if I try to make that a one-to-one, then the SWR on the radio goes up a little bit more, maybe 1.5 to 1.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
And then I just want to spit out that it's probably all the same, but I'd like to know if it's mostly because the MFT antenna tuner quality precision instrument, and even if I put another SWR meter after the tuner, maybe that would tell another story. I don't think I want to put one by the antenna and start running around looking at that, but if I have to, I will. You might suggest that too, but let me know what you think, and if you're going to blame the antenna tuner, should I try to maybe modify or align it so I get a closer reading, unless there's a way of telling the truth somehow. I think this is all very confusing and complicated, but I've never had a problem, so thank you.
We got quite a bit of information that time, Andy, but there's a couple of missing holes here. You told us you've got a TS-2000, you've got an MFJ 3-kilowatt roll adductor type 989B, the Butternut vertical antenna, and there are times you see 400 watts forward, so there must be an amplifier involved. You didn't tell us the amplifier. So I think you're saying that the MFJ will measure a 3-to-1 VISWR, and either your TS-2000 or the amplifier measures 1-to-1. So there's a little bit of confusion there, how you got 400 watts out of a TS-2000. Fill us in as to what information is there. By the way, when you see a different amount of VISWR in, say, the MFJ antenna tuner versus the amplifier, or the TS-2000, probably the TS-2000 also has a way of measuring standing wave ratio. Did you put the MFJ in a bandpass mode when you read the VISWR on anything other than the MFJ tuner? Over to you, Andy. N2HUH, K2RIW on the TechNet.
I'd like to keep the amplifier part of the question out of it. That was my mistake. I didn't want to mix the amplifier in. So it's 100 watts out of the Kenwood TS-2000. From the Kenwood TS-2000 to the MFJ roller inductor antenna tuner. And from there, of course, with coax feed to the Butternut all band vertical. And if you have any questions with that setup only, not involving the antenna tuner, the amplifier. The amplifier is not in line. Forget about the amplifier. Sorry, I said that. No amplifier, just the radio, the MFJ, and the antenna. That's it.
Okay, now let me try this hypothetical situation on you, Andy. Assume the antenna on a particular band is giving you a 3-to-1 standing wave ratio read on the MFJ antenna tuner. And then you're telling me the TS-2000 will read 1-to-1. Maybe that's exactly what it's supposed to do. The antenna tuner is supposed to make a good match to the 2000, even though the antenna itself has a 3-to-1. Either that, or you're telling me you're putting the MFJ in the bypass mode when reading the standing wave ratio on the TS-2000. So clear that one up for us, Andy. N2HUH, wait for the four beeps, K2RAW.
Okay, Dick, the TS-2000 is in bypass mode, no antenna tuner used. I'm manually tuning the MFJ Versatuner 5 model 989B. And what I'm seeing, if I try to satisfy a 1-to-1 SWR on the radio, I'll see that, and mostly 100 watts out, average power. It doesn't matter if it's CW, FM, whatever, CW, FM, and the antenna tuner will show a 3-to-1 SWR, and I am using the antenna tuner to tune. So now what I'll do is I'll do all kinds of configurations or try to get everything 1-to-1, which I cannot do. I cannot satisfy the radio and the antenna tuner. I can get 100 watts out of both relative meters on the radio and the antenna tuner. But sometimes I'll see a 3-to-1 SWR on the antenna tuner.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Lucky for me, I'm able to hear you on the input, Andy. On both transmissions, you timed out. And so people who are listening to this are going to be listening to a discontinuous conversation. You said something that's a little bit confusing. No amplifier is involved. The TS-2000 read up. You told us the TS-2000 is in the bypass mode. I don't think you meant that. I think you meant the antenna tuner. Maybe it was in the bypass mode. Let's assume there's no amplifier. No amplifier even wired into the system. If the amplifier is in the bypass mode, there's some chance the amplifier is creating a little bit of standing wave ratio in the bypass mode. I'll assume that the amplifier is not even wired into the system. Your TS-2000 goes straight into the MFJ antenna tuner. MFJ antenna tuner goes to coax to the butternut all-band vertical. The antenna tuner reads 3-to-1 standing wave ratio. The TS-2000 reads close to 1-to-1, but not exactly 1-to-1. That's what I think you're saying. And that maybe is confusing you. If the antenna tuner is doing its job, the input impedance to the antenna tuner, seen by the 2000, should be very close to 1-to-1, at the same time that the output of the antenna tuner, going to the butternut, is a 3-to-1. So far, does that describe what you're seeing? And is that the discrepancy you're asking the question about? The fact that the antenna tuner sees 3-to-1 and the TS-2000 sees nearly 1-to-1. Is that the apparent error? Over to you, Andy. To the N2HUH. Try not to drown out, time out. Do wait for all four beeps. You got it, Andy. K2RIW.
Yes, that's basically it. And both the radio and the tuner will read at 100 watts. Sometimes on some bands I can get both to read 1-to-1, 100 watts, both the radio and the tuner. But on some bands it seems that there's a discrepancy between the radio and the tuner.
Very fine, Andy. Okay, I think I now see the nature of your question. So on the band where your butternut is presenting at 3-to-1 and you're manually adjusting the antenna tuner, you want the TS-2000 to see close to 1-to-1 at the exact same time the antenna tuner adjusted for maximum power output, 100 watts coming out of the antenna tuner, 100 watts coming out of the TS-2000. Antenna tuner is saying 3-to-1, TS-2000 is saying close to 1-to-1. Although that sounds crazy, that's exactly the way it's supposed to be, Andy. The whole purpose of the antenna tuner is to make sure that your no-tune radio sees close to 1-to-1, no matter what the standing wave ratio of the antenna is. It is an impedance matching device. If your antenna was purely resistive, as an example, with a 3-to-1 standing wave ratio, that means the antenna might be 150 ohms instead of 50 ohms. That's a 3-to-1 standing wave ratio. If it was 150 ohms resistance, that's one of the simple ways you can get a 3-to-1. There's a zillion other ways. Let me drop this. So at this particular frequency or this particular band, your antenna looks like a 150 ohm resistor. That's a 3-to-1 standing wave ratio. The VisWire indicator on the antenna tuner is telling you it's a 3-to-1. The antenna tuner is doing its job, making sure that your TS-2000 sees close to 1-to-1, 50 ohms. So therefore, at that instant of time, in this example, your antenna tuner is doing that 3-to-1 match. is make sure the TS-2000 sees 50 ohms, even though the antenna is 150 ohms in my example. That's just the way it should be. That's and 100 watts out of both is great. The fact that there's an apparent discrepancy in the two visual measurements is not bad. It's good. And it's unusual. It's something you have to get used to. And that's the way an impedance matching device that MFJ is supposed to work. Sounds to me like it's doing a beautiful job. See if that makes a little bit more sense to you now, Andy. N2HUH, wait for the beeps. K2RIW. And keep an eye on your watch there, Andy.
All right. N2EO.
Andy first. Go ahead, Andy.
As you can tell, I'm used to a lot of HF. I don't wait for the TV. Okay, thank you.
All
right, that makes sense. In all honesty, it's sort of what I kind of already suspected, but the other part, the other side of the coin is I've actually had, let's say, the antenna showing a 1.5 to 1 SWR or less, and not using the antenna tuner on the radio, but using the antenna tuner on the tuner, I'll load it up for, the best I can, 1 to 1 on the radio. And then, again, the MFJ antenna tuner will show me something like a 3 to 1 or a 5 to 1 or a ridiculously high SWR. Yet the radio is absolutely happy. It's showing 1 to 1 or close to 100 watts output, and I can QSO and everything's fine. But the antenna tuner is showing a ridiculous high SWR, and maybe that's RF feedback. I'm suspecting possibility of some kind of RF feedback or something along those lines. Your speculation or comment on that, Dick?
We have both Rich and Tom standing by. Please stand by, you two guys, while we try to make this a little bit more clear for Andy. Andy, what you're seeing sounds unhappy to you, like an unhappy situation to you. It's something you've got to get used to. What you're describing is beautiful operation. If your antenna really does have a 3 to 1 on some frequencies, and I'm strongly suspicious that it does, if you connected the antenna directly to the TS-2000, the TS-2000 cannot tolerate a 3 to 1 standing wave ratio. It would either turn itself off or cut itself way back in power. It's protecting its final stage. The so-called modern-day no-tune radios don't want to see anything more than about a 1.5 standing wave ratio. Otherwise, they start doing something about it. And you'd be stopping the transmission or down to a very low amount of power output if you were not using an antenna tuner. The antenna tuner does not change the standing wave ratio of the antenna. It cannot do that. It would have to be located up at the antenna to do that. That antenna tuner is down there in the shack with you. Let me drop.
DC says with a comment.
Please stand by, Hal. You're the third guy in the list. You're going to be unhappy with me, but that's the way it is. The antenna tuner is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, Andy. It does not change the standing wave ratio of your antenna. You tune it around the 20-meter band on a Saturday afternoon, you'll hear people saying all kinds of crazy things different than that. The antenna tuner does not change the standing wave ratio of the antenna. It changes the standing wave ratio presented to your transmitter. It's an impedance matching device. The possibility exists that your antenna with a 3 to 1 is 150 ohms. That's just one possibility. And so it's acting like a 3 to 1 matching transformer. 150 ohms on the output side, 50 ohms on the input side. Your TS-2000 is happy. There is no feedback here. Yes, you've got some reflection from the antenna. That's what standing wave ratio is. There is some signal coming back down the inside of the coax cable. The antenna tuner is taking care of that. There's nothing wrong here. What you're describing is a beautiful condition. I'll bet your people give you some very nice reports when you're running that 100 watts output. There's nothing wrong with this condition you're describing to us, Andy, unless there's something else we're missing. N2HUH, I want to make this clear first before we get complicated with other opinions on this one. N2HUH, you're allowed to ask more questions on this, Andy. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, K4RIW, you're wrong.
Okay. I heard some more. All right, this gets confusing. But last question, I promise, as far as this Dick, is that if my antenna on, let's say, on 20 meters is 1.5 to 1 to the radio, and I put it with the antenna tuner in bypass mode, it shows 1.5 to 1. But my problem is after I tune it up, if I use the radio antenna tuner, of course, it'll go, the antenna tuner will go sky high with SWR. But if I notice that if I load it up, as you said, it seems to work fine with just the antenna tuner. So I guess all is well and all is right. So if you don't see a problem with the SWRs going very high, like 5 to 1, 8 to 1, whatever, and the antenna really is a 1.5 to 1, and the tuner is still showing a higher SWR than the 1 to 1 on the radio after it's tuned. If you say that's fine, then all's right, then I'm happy and satisfied. Thank you, N2HUH.
A quick comment on pertinent to the 2000.
Go ahead, John. KC2WGB, K2RIW.
KC2WGB. Dick, the 2000 has two output ports for the VHF. I wonder if he's using the output port, because you cannot use the output port with the tuner on the radio and add a tuner. That could be the error also. So that would be an interesting question, I think, for you to ask Andy.
GPC. Comments would be fast to climb out of here.
A good point, John. Sometimes people buy a PS2000 with a built-in antenna tuner.
Repeater, timeout.
So, Andy, does your TS2000 have a built-in antenna tuner? If it does, you're not supposed to cascade the antenna tuner in the TS2000, the automatic one built-in, with another MFJ antenna tuner. So that's part of what I think John is asking about the two output connectors. See if we can clear that one up, Andy. N2HUH, K2RIW in the TechNet?
Correct.
Believe it's 2 minutes.
We're not going to get a chance to use you, Hal. We'll have to get to you later. Go ahead, Andy.
That's all right. I can talk to Hal anytime. Anyway, I don't want to say I disagree, but I do have a built-in antenna tuner. They all come with... There is no TS2000 that doesn't have an antenna tuner, and it's not in circuit when I use the MFJ tuner. So, no, the same phenomenon will happen on a TS2000, a Kenwood 940, an 847 with no the same thing happens on more than one radio. It has nothing to do with the TS2000. But I do appreciate people, asking the questions, but I've already documented this with more than one HF radio, so thank you very much. I do appreciate that, John. I do a lot of research and work before I ask a question. If I do ask a question, usually I've done a lot of the work, the field work already. Okay, sounds like all is right with the world, then. I just thought it was very odd with the discrepancy, but after your explanation, Dick, it makes sense to me for the most part. The only thing I didn't understand is if the antenna is 1.5 to 1, no matter what I did with the manual tuner, and the radio shows 1 to 1, and there's no other antenna tuner in the radio or being used, because this happens on other radios, I still see a higher SWR on the tuner. That was my final point, N2HUH.
Comment.
Andy,
How are you going to have to wait? Hal, you're going to have to wait. We're trying not to confuse this poor guy. Andy, what John just told you is there's two output connectors on the back of your TS 9000. One of them is intended to be used when you use
repeater timeout.
One of them is intended to be used when you're using an external antenna tuner. You're doubled on sure, Andy, that you're using the right of the two output connectors on your TS-2000. You're using the right output connector that allows you to go into an external antenna tuner. Is that a roger on that one, Andy? In 2HUH, K2RIW in the TechNet?
It's a very good point that if John made it. Let's say that's true. I will try both one and two, but you're saying the right one. Well, which one is the right one? One number one or number two? Because there's only antenna one and antenna two output. Nothing to do with VHF and UHF. There's two HF connectors on the back of the TS-2000. And I could try both of them and see what happens, but I don't think it's going to make a difference because the same phenomena happens on a Kenwood TS-940. Another, what was the other radio? Oh, the TS-480, Kenwood TS-480. The same phenomenon happens on every transceiver in my shack. So it has nothing to do with the TS-2000, but I do think and appreciate the comments, and I thank for everybody jumping in to help me. Howie, John, I'm overwhelmed, and thank you very much. I guess I'm a likable, popular guy. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And all I could say is I'm overwhelmed. Thank you. Dick, over to you.
But it's in the manual, and it goes into a great description on how you're not supposed to use a tuner with the other tuner active or into that port. So just check the manual and let us know what happens. I know what's happening on other radios, but I'd like to know because, as you know, I have four of them.
Repeat. Everybody. We got a whole bunch of people jumping on top of each other, and you got snowed on that one, John. John, what's the easiest way he knows the proper output connector? You've got four of those TS-2000s. You know which of the two output HF connectors he should be using. Which of the two connectors should he be using, John? KC2WGB, K2RIW in the TechNet?
K2WGB. Dick, I believe it's number two, but it is listed in the manual, and it's quite emphatic about it. So check the manual, Andy, and it'll let you know. And then we'll find out. I know it's happening on other radios, but let's try working with the proper port to make sure when you get a chance, and then come back and let us know what happened. Back to you, Dick.
CBC, don't leave me off the drive, okay?
We think it's a connector number two, Andy. So, Andy, are you fairly sure you're using connector number two? And if not, double-check with your manual. And then, if the things you describe to us are what you're seeing, it could be completely normal. N2HUH, and only N2HUH. K2RIW, go ahead, Andy.
Okay, Dick, very good. It's a wonderful feeling when everybody's trying to help, but it does epitomize my call sign. Nice to have useful hints. But anyway, thank you very much for your help, Richard and John and Al. Forget trying to get in there, and I heard another station trying to get in there also before. I welcome any other comments or suggestions, but thank you very much. Back to your net, Richard, and thank you very much. From Andy, N2HUH.
Total waiting, Dick, I think is four.
Yeah, I know. The only fair way is we talk to people in order. The next person in the order who wants to give information to Andy is Rich, N2EO. N2EO, K2RIW. Go ahead, Rich. Try to keep it a little bit brief, because we're getting a little crazy here.
If I realize that, Dick, N2EO, and you're all wrong, I can tell you exactly what the problem is. On the back of all these tuners, there's a very small printed circuit board, about 2 inches by 2 inches. There's a toroid on that board, which makes up a directional coupler. What they do for me, input connector, they've got a small piece of bus wire that goes to the input of the tuner. Also from that board, they go over to another board. has the calibration pots where we're calibrating the wattage, the wattage scale. But on that board I just mentioned, the little one 2 inches by 2 inches, they've got a tiny little variable capacitor that's used to balance out the tuner or balance out the SWR meter. You have to put it into the SWR position and not into a dummy load and set that pot rather than capacitor until you get a null. And it should go down to zero. You know, one to one in a perfect world. It doesn't always. But I'm sure that's his problem, Dick. I'm sorry. MFJ is a lousy way of calibrating. Back to that.
I'm going to guess that Andy bought a MFJ that was properly calibrated, or close to properly calibrated, maybe not perfect, and I'm guessing that Andy did not twist any of those controls. But what Rich is indicating to you, Andy, is that if you had a known good dummy load, which you now know presents exactly a one-to-one, there is the possibility you could do a little bit of touch-up tuning on one of those bands. I don't think you can do it on all the bands, so to speak. Choose your favorite band. Do a little bit of touch-up tuning of those controls on the MFJ antenna tuner. But I'm going to make a guess, Andy, that you bought one in fairly new condition. It wasn't used and been abused. Possibly that Invisalign indicator is working correctly and doesn't require any major antenna tuning, major touch-up tuning. That's my guess, Andy. Are you the first owner of that antenna tuner? In which case, this is a long shot. The fact that you see a 3-to-1 on the antenna tuner and the 1-to-1 on the 2000 could be perfectly normal and exactly right. N2HUH for any comment on this one. K2RAW. Go ahead, Andy.
The MFJ tuner is about 30 years old. I purchased it when I was a novice, and I did... I will say that I did have to clean it a little bit, Roland Doctor, after 30 years. But, with the amplifier, it runs rather well, rather solid, actually. It runs better with the amplifier in line. But maybe, like you mentioned, maybe in bypass mode, the amplifier can be causing a problem. That's a possibility, too. There's so many variables here. I could spend the next 24 hours experimenting with all this stuff, but... I will do that and keep notes, and if I can, I'll get back to the net with any information. But the tuner works rather well, in my opinion. It could be, as Richie said, a little out of calibration, but I'll check into that too with another SWR meter, which I have, and I'll do some comparisons, and I'll get back to you if I can. But again, thanks to everyone. Warms my heart that everybody wants is fighting to help me. I take it as a compliment. Thank you.
Andy, most people consider a bird watt meter, a bird model 43 watt meter, a gold standard. Most people consider that. If you put the bird watt meter after the MFJ antenna tuner, between the tuner and the antenna, and the bird 43 watt meter allows you to read forward power and reverse power. You then go to the manual, which has got a graph. It'll tell you this ratio of forward power to this value of reverse power equals a 3-to-1 standing wave ratio. If that's true, if your bird watt meter or something of equal quality on the output of the antenna tuner tells you 3-to-1, and if MFJ tells you 3-to-1, you're in Fat City. Everything's hunky-dory. And then the double check, you put the bird watt meter on the input side of the antenna tuner. And when the antenna tuner is set just right, it tells you that there's 100 watts going forward and almost 0 watts coming back. You get that combination with the bird watt meter, you're in Fat City. If you see what we're saying on this one, Andy. So if there's any doubt as to whether or not the VISWAR indicator of your MFJ is telling you the truth, you can confirm it with that bird watt meter with those two tests. And 2HUH, for any questions on this one, K2LIW, go ahead, Andy.
Very good, Dick. Yes, I remember doing that once before, and unfortunately I didn't put that in notes. And I actually have so many notes on other things that but I will say one thing, if anybody has any comments or suggestions, you're not wasting your time with me. Believe me, I do the legwork. I do the grunt work. My problem is documenting everything that I do, which I'm going to start doing now. And yes, makes sense to me, 100% crystal clear, Richard. Very good. All right. Back to net, N2HUH.
N2EO.
All right, we've already taken Rich once. The next person who was on the list in order was Hal, K6DPZ. Keeps telling us he's here, he's not here, he's here, he's not here. Let's see if he's here. K6DPZ, for your comment on this subject, K2RIW.
K2RIW, K6DPZ. You hearing me, number one?
You're dropping out, but we're hearing you. Try not to overmodulate so that you're dropping out. Try to give us your information, Hal. K6DPZ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
I'm sorry, I got a little hot. The thing is, I want to talk about two factors. So number one, let's check the instrumentation. What I mean, Andy, take your array, go for bypass, feed a signal, a transmitter into it, use a terminated load, make sure your SWR meter on the MFJ is reading a 1-to-1. That's number one. And same thing, do it with any meter you have. Go to that terminated 50 ohm resistive load. Make sure your instrumentation is good. Okay, now after you do that, if you just hold on a second. After you do that, then basically what you want to do next. See, an antenna tuner is a selective frequency device. And what it looks like from what you've been mentioning, hold on one second. If you have any or any other garbage coming through from your transmitter, your SWR meter is going to read into a tuned antenna tuner. It won't read into a dummy load. It will show a number up. But a tuned antenna tuner is a resonant frequency. If there is not a clean signal, and you can verify this with me. Dick, I've been experimenting with antennas many years, like you. That means your signal is not being clean going in, and that's why you're seeing an SWR. So those are my two comments. Let Dick verify with me, then we'll go further.
Hal, the majority of what we heard between all those dropouts was that you believe that he has more than one frequency coming out of the transmitter creating confusing readings. Without a doubt, if there's more than one frequency coming out of the transmitter, VISWAR readings become crazy. He's running a clean TS-2000. Unless something is terribly wrong with his rig, there's only one frequency coming out of that rig. So that particular phenomena is not probably taking place. One other good comment that Hal made was that to double check if you've got a good dummy load and you put the antenna tuner into the dummy load and you know it should read 1-to-1, and if the VISWAR meter of the MFJ reads 1-to-1, you're in Fat City. And then by way of the real antenna, which maybe is 3-to-1, and your bird watt meter confirms 3-to-1, now you've got two calibration points on the VISWAR meter of the MFJ. So if in a dummy load it means 1-to-1, and if in your antenna it reads 3-to-1, and the bird tells you you've got 3-to-1, again you're in Fat City. So you're already about to go down the road to do that test, and you're doing exactly the right thing. The next two people in line were Howie and Eric in that order. Howie, N2HWW, K2RIW. Howie, go ahead with your comment on this subject.
Done. Can you give me a minute more? I'm very familiar with the 2000. I've worked on a couple of them in the years. They have a problem on some of the transmitters where you have some spurry coming out. You're throwing a pressure panel on. You know what I mean?
Okay. You were 50% dropout, but what we did hear is that the TS-2000 is capable of putting out a whole bunch of bad frequencies. I'm having trouble believing that one, Hal. Let me give a quick The guy who owns four of them is John, KC2WGB. John, have you ever seen any evidence or have any of your friends ever told you a TS-2000 can put out a whole bunch of bad frequencies? KC2WGB, K2RAW in the TechNet.
That spectrum analyzer is in your lab. Did you ever bother to put one on a spectrum analyzer and take a look at it?
John, I'll wait for the beeps, and John, give us your comment on this one.
KC2WGB. Dick, I've never experienced that on any of them. Maybe if there's something wrong, that could happen, sure. But I have never seen that, and on my spectrum analyzers, they look good. Back to you, Dick.
Comment.
Hal, because you're in the repair business, Hal, you've seen a whole lot of beat-up TS-2000s. Andy is treating his with tender loving care and hasn't been beat up. Therefore, the chances of it putting out a bunch of bad frequencies could be pretty low. K6DPZ, K2RAW on this one. Go ahead, Hal.
RAW, K6DPZ. Doesn't have to put out a pile of frequencies. Just has to put out one spur. And you'll have that type of situation there. I've seen a single spur coming out of that model radio. Solid state radios out there, 940s, 930s, and so on. And it can affect when you go into a tune, antenna toner, not a resistive load, a reactive load. When it sees any of the frequencies going into the tuner, you will have a VSWR. Dick, I appreciate your knowledge, appreciate mine, okay?
Okay, in your repair business, you have seen defective TS-2000s put out at least one other bad frequency. When you fixed it, what was the cause? And now we can ask Andy, does he see any evidence of him having that problem? K6DPZ, what caused the other bad frequency that you fixed? Okay. First of all, therefore we're going to take it to Hal and then Eric in that order. What was the bad component that made it put out more than one frequency? K6DPZ, K2RAW?
Pass filter network is not working properly, Dick. When your low pass filter network is working properly, you've got a pretty good deal. But when the low pass filter network is heated up, components change, you do have a problem. It puts out some other mixes. Dick, I design communications equipment. I build transceivers. I know that I'm talking.
Okay, the next person who has seen frequencies on the spectrum analyzer is Eric, KE2EJ. Eric, tell us what you have seen on a TS-2000, what you think can cause it, what can fix it, and so on. KE2EJ, K2RAW in the tech mask.
K2RAW, K2EJ. Well, on one hand, I have to agree with all because I've seen that the low-pass filters have bad gaps in it. Normally, when you're looking at a TS-2000 and it just ain't working right, which is usually the case, you see stuff that's maybe 70 dB, between 60 and 70 dB diameter. Okay, you see little spurs really coming from the jitter and the phase loss will make these little harmonic flips, but it doesn't come out of the output. You know, we're talking 60, 70, sometimes 80 dB down. I mean, the spectrum analyzer is not that good, so I can't say it's 80 dB down. But I did want to point out a couple things that seems to have been missing in this conversation, which might make it a little bit easier to understand. Let me let it drop and see if I'm still there. Okay, the first thing is the MFJ tuner. The meter that he's reading is at the output side, not the input side, right? And it is a passive device. I think I know the particular model that he's talking about. We can be talking about variations in the conduction curve of the diodes that are being used in the meter. If it's 30 years old, you can bet you that they're an early run of whatever particular diode they're using. So, you know, they're not exactly linear devices perfectly. The other thing is that if he's really going to be a scientist about this and make measurements, you put this load straight into the TS-2000, make sure that the tuner is turned off. There's a menu setting for that. So there's no tuner action. That should give you pretty much 1-1 on the meter on the 2000. If it doesn't, then you're already starting off wrong. If it does, you know you're good there. Now hook up the MFJ, put it bypass. you're going to see a slightly different visual of it, simply because of the way that the MFJ is manufactured. It's not perfect, and it'll be different on different bands, but we're talking about very minor, small differences. And then, but when you're tuning the thing, you should be tuning it for maximum output and not looking at the visual. Once you've found maximum, then go look at the visual, and you can see what the truth is. On the output side, you're going to see what the visual of the antenna is, and on the radio, you're going to see what the match into the tuner is. KQRIWK,
Jerry
Jones.
Eric.
From what I'm hearing Andy say, I think Andy knew that when the MFJ measures standing wave ratio, it's measuring on the output side. I don't think that was in any doubt. And when Andy is going to be doing his confirmation test, he puts his MFJ into a dummy load, a known good dummy load, and reads something close to 1:1. Then he puts it into the real antenna. Maybe the MFJ reads 3:1, and maybe by way of his gold standard Bird Model 43 on the output side, he goes through its procedure, and he reads 2.9 or 3.1 or 2.8 and 3.2. Close enough. You want to be in the right ballpark. On top of that, Eric, you seem to be seeking a Xperia's output of a TS-2000 of minus 60, 70, and 80 dB. You, as a broadcast engineer, with that high a standard, yes, that's a reasonable thing to do. We, as an amateur radio operator, if the undesired frequencies are more than 20 dB down or 30 dB down, that's low enough to not be creating really bad visual apparent readings. If one-third of your power is on a second harmonic as well as the fundamental, your visual readings get crazy. But if the undesired products are 25 dB down, so to speak, or better, 20 dB down is 1% of the power, 30 dB down is 0.1% of the power on the wrong frequency, then that's not a causative agent for crazy visual readings. That would be good enough. So when Andy does those confirmation readings and he comes back next week or the week after and tells us about it, we'll know a lot more about this.
Yeah, you got to make sure that the tuner's resonant, because you can tune to what appears to be false resonance and you're feeding energy backwards.
Okay, yeah, there is a slightly spooky procedure for how to operate the manually tuned MFJ tuner, but Andy's had that antenna tuner for 30 years. By now, I think he knows how to do that. I don't think we should belittle him on that particular one. There's two other people on the list who want to say something to Andy. One of them was Howie, and one of them was Wes, in that order. Howie, Mr. HWW, K2RIW in the TechNet. Go right ahead, Howie.
Yeah, I just want to ask Eric one question about this before I make a comment. Eric, the SWR meter on the MFJ is on the input side, is that correct?
Negative, Howie, it's on the output side. This is what's going to the output. After the final tank in the thing, right on the output connector is where it's passing through. When you put it into bypass, bypass is all that stuff, you're still getting the accurate reading of what's going across.
Sampler, an MFJ is on the MFJ tuner, not on the output.
Some antenna tuners will have a switch by which you can measure visual on input or output. But if there's really a visual meter built in, it would only make sense to have the visual. Well, I take it back. There are times when I wanted either one. Hal, you seem to be saying you believe this particular MFJ tuner, the 989 Bravo, the one with the roller ductor, you think the antenna tuner is on the input side? Run that by again, Al. K6DPZ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, the sampling circuit on that tuner for SWR is on the input of the tuner. So when you go bypass, you're just passing back your whole C-network or Pi-network there. So it's on the input, not the output. When you go bypass, you're just going right through, and if you go into a terminated mode, you shouldn't have a flat reading. Yeah, go ahead.
He's absolutely right, and we
out. Wow. Eric, KE2EJ, does that sound reasonable to you? I'm amazed at that one. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RW, K2J. On the early ones, the really early ones, yeah, they were on the input side. On the new ones, they're all quad needle. So there's actually, you're looking at both ends. Yeah, that could be right, because I'm thinking about some other tutors where you're actually trying to go for the minimum visual on the meter rather than the maximum output. That would make sense to be on the input side now, wouldn't it?
WB2HWW with a comment here, and I really do have a comment.
Okay, 30-year-old antenna tuner, slim possibility the diodes that are giving the visual indication have changed somewhat in their characteristics. We're slowly concluding that your visual measurement may be on the input side, another confusing factor. Hopefully the manual will make that clearer. Howie, I know you've been trying to tell us something else. Mr. HWW, K2RAW, go ahead, Howie.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment here, Dick, and I hope I don't, you know, have an argument with you. When you run a tech deck, you should give people a chance, other people to get in, because that's what everybody was trying to say. That's why I broke it. You have to have the SWR meter on the input on these older units, because when you tune in an antenna tuner, you're tuning for minimum SWR. That's what you do. On a lot of antenna tuners, you're not tuning for maximum output. Most, you know, when I had an antenna tuner like a Johnson tuner or any of the other tuners, you'd always put your SWR meter between your radio and your antenna tuner and tune for minimum SWR. And that's what he's trying to find out. He's getting a different reading between the two meters, and he's getting confused. And you guys spent a whole hour trying to figure out what it was. Andy is confused because the antenna tuner on his antenna tuner is on the input, and that was reading different than his radio.
Listen, Dick, Howie is 100% right, and Twio.
Okay, when we got about four or five people who all want to talk at once, each person is positive that their piece of information is more important than all the others, and they keep telling us that. All I can do is to try to take things in order. I tried taking things in order. I tried keeping people from getting too unhappy with all of this, and it looks like we've gone down a wrong trail on this one, but we've slowly gotten smarter. We've arrived at a higher truth here. So, Andy, it looks like we've got to double-check your visual measurement on your MFJ is maybe on the input side. It's beginning to look like the compendium of opinion here. It's on the input side. The manual will confirm that. If that's true, and now you're measuring 3-to-1 on one and 1-to-1 on the other, now it's time to be a little bit more suspicious of its instrumentation, again by way of the gold standard of your Bird 43 on input end and output end. You'll eventually find out what's going on. And with any further comments on this one, sorry we've led everybody down the garden path on this one for a while. Hopefully we're back on the garden path there. I know that Wes wanted to say something. Maybe he's familiar with this exact antenna tuner. N2XJN, K2RAW. Go ahead, Wes.
I have a tuner with 2000, but actually you guys said it all. I was having a comment over your statement that Kenwood 2000 cannot tolerate another antenna tuner. Actually, you're right. See, the whole discussion is about what you should do in order to have the effect or desire, your desire. But we're talking not about that. We're talking about what it is the actual situation, what is the actual instrumentation that he's got, and actual effect, and based on it, we react. So, back to you, Dick, and Tracy.
Okay, it's good that we're emotional about this. It's good that we're enthusiastic. Each person has got a little piece of the action, a little piece of the information. I think we've slowly gotten to the bottom of the truth, and sorry I was so wrong on that. I just thought the output connector had the visual measurement. Looks like it's the input. Okay, Andy. Andy's going to come back to us next week with more information, and boy, does he have an interesting subject. Joe is the next guy on the list. Hope we haven't put him to sleep. To be too...
make a final comment, please?
Go ahead, Andy.
Just wanted to say that I used this with the MFJ tuner with a radio that doesn't even have an antenna tuner. So I've done the dog work on that. Not exclusive to the TS-2000. Number two is, my tuner is 30 years old, but it does have a cross needle.